live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 277. And I'm your host, Brandon Reif. Be joined momentarily by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. We are giving you a special Tuesday night episode. Tuesday night, myself, JB, we've got a lot to recap. We've got the NFL from this past weekend. We've got Colts Patriots over in Germany. We've got news and notes from around the NFL, games from around the NFL, college football, big college football week going on. We've got college football to talk about. We've got pick 'em from last week, pick 'em to this week. We've got that to talk about. We've got NBA news and notes, Pacers update. We got college basketball. College basketball is the swinging right now. Champions Classics tonight, Duke and Michigan State, Kansas, Kentucky. Nothing better than that, but I guess one thing better than that, I can't do this show on my own. So here's my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Oh, man, doing just fine, man. You are so kind, man, but that's not true, man. Brandon Reif, like, listen, y'all, Brandon Reif did this show before. I even came on the show, man, so I do appreciate the love that Brandon Reif said. He can't do the show by himself, man. That's cap, but no, man, it's good to be back, man. You know, how the week goes by so fast, man. You know,
Tuesday night show.
Tuesday night show. Well, I mean, still, you know, Tuesday night show, but like, still goes by so fast. And like, dude, I know we got a lot to talk about. And I can't wait till we start talking about college football because like, it don't stop on the weekend, does it? College football goes from Friday to Saturday, and like, football just kind of just takes, and then it kind of bleeds into the NFL. Like, man, but give us the official rundown.
Yeah, absolutely, John. Big show tonight. Tanner, I don't know if we're going to have Tanner call in tonight. Schedules have kind of been a little different for him, so likely won't have Tanner tonight, but we'll get his picks and put him on. But, John, I want to start right in to the NFL, to recap some of the NFL stuff. Colts, Patriots, the evil empire, the New England Patriots, what's left of them, the shell of the former self, played in Germany. John, it was an ugly game, needless to say, but the Germans are probably pissed for what the product does that we gave them over there. Colts win, but it's an ugly win. Minshew looked terrible over there. Not as bad as Mac Jones, but John, it just bad football around, but in the end, all that matters when you look at it, it's going to be who got the dub, and it's the Colts over the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying, from a fan base and from a team standpoint, you take the win. So win in the win column, the AFC South is still up for grabs in that regard. Even I do believe the Texans. No, it's still up for grabs, man, you know what I'm saying, mathematically, right? So, you know, you have a competitive football team in Indianapolis. But here's the thing, though, Brandon. Like, it was a hot mess on so many levels, you know? And you speak to the people that was there and watched it. Like, German Brandon, they were doing the daggone wave, man. Like, listen, yo, they're like, listen, this is a
I heard Wonderwall and Country Roads play.
Come on, Brandon. The NFL done sold a primetime NFL old school rivalry. The Indianapolis Colts versus New England Patriots. You done sold this over here to the German people, man. And they booked. They got a full house. It's like 55,000 people there, or 54,000, something crazy like that, right, Brandon? But like, listen, man, what? I don't know, man. I was asked, man. What? You know, saying a guy I work with, man. He asked me. He said, man, find out like how much was the split, like how much the NFL get versus like, you know, saying in the networks and get it, because that's interesting, right? Because like outside of that, man, that game was gross. Gardner Minshew looked like a backup. Mac Jones got benched. Man, I couldn't believe it. I just like, you know, Bill Belichick second guessing this, third guessing himself. You know what I'm saying? The kid Zappy throws a pick, but like, man, Mac Jones is he probably won't go back out on the field ever again as a New England Patriot. But man, from a coach standpoint, if you root for that team, man, you take that win and like I said, you walk into the bye week hoping that Gardner Minshew can get the jitters out of his happy feet, man, because man, he looked like a different quarterback in these last couple starts.
Yeah, he did. John, to kind of give you some notes, the NFL played in Germany last year. And they had just the one game last year over there. It was the Bucks and the Seahawks. And if you look, I'm looking back now of the economic impact of the inaugural game that was in Germany. Last year, that one game generated over $77 million for the host city of Munich. $77 million
Wow.
For the city.
Wow.
Comes out to 70 million euros. So, and that was just for one game. And you got to think they've had a game for 2 weeks there now, back-to-back weeks. So $140 million possibly. Yeah. And another thing I found, John, it says, well, let's see if it'll let me read it all the way through. It may try to give me, a paywall here. Oh. Yeah, VIP tickets for the game for the first one was over $3,000 for VIP tickets for that game, and it's crazy because Kansas City expects to generate more than $1.5 million in revenue this year from sponsorships and others from the Germany deal, and the teams are expected to make over $1 million themselves, even the Colts. But yeah, so Frankfurt, it'll be interesting to see when those numbers come out of how much money Frankfurt got out of this. I tell you, the game was in October last year. The report finally came out in May of this year. So we probably got to wait until next May to get the report on the final numbers for what the economic impact was for the Colts game. You got to also remember it's a smaller arena too, smaller venue. So that may have something to do with it.
Right. So like a one-time venue is getting like 80 million, you know what I'm saying? If you round up between 70 and $80 million. That's crazy.
John, the Colts are going on a bye week this week. So they flew back home bye week, feeling good about themselves. Yeah. So you kind of got what you want right now, John. If you could tell me, begin the season, you lose your starting quarterback. You've had issues with your starting running back for the first part of the season. You're 5-5, and you're going on bye week, and you're only two games out of the division. I think you'd be pretty happy hearing that, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they are. I mean, you know, they still got a little bit issues with you know, one of their higher paid defensive, you know, some defensive backs in Shaq Leonard, but you know,
he's upset, John, but he ain't playing worth a shit.
Well, is he complaining about he can't be complaining about the system because other guys in the system are eating, man. The secondary looks good, does it not?
Yes, it did. But also, I'm going to look back the last 2 weeks who the quarterbacks have been.
Hey, man, you got to play. Stop that, Brandon. You got to play who's on your team. And, hell, listen, parallel that same. CeeDee Lamb is talking about he's the best wide receiver after playing the New York Giants. Come on, man.
I mean, his stats showed it there. But, yeah, you're right. Looking around games, other games for the league, Bears did. No, go ahead.
Hold on, Brandon. Shaq Leonard, he's not happy because of what? His playing time or his impact on the game?
He's feeling like he is not being, for his talent and his value, is not being best used how it should be.
All right, man. Well, then how ugly does he really want this to get, this breakup to get? Because just go ahead and say you want to break up from the coach.
I mean, the writing's on the wall. It's coming. So,
right.
We'll see. Bears beat the Panthers 16-13 on Thursday night. I didn't catch any of this game, John. On Thursday night, I was you know, and that'll be a whole nother story we'll talk about. But I was at the Undertaker's One Dead Man show on Thursday night. So we'll kind of, I want to recap that a little bit. Remind me later on. I do want to talk a little bit. I'm not going to talk all of it because it was a cool place. You couldn't have your cell phones out. Your cell phones had to be in pouches and locked away and your electronics and all that stuff. So I don't want to give all the stories away, at least on the air. Right. Now, personally, when me and you off air, I'll tell you all of them because it was an amazing 2 hours with Taker. But I didn't get to catch any of this game, so I expected the Bears to come out and win this game. You know, Badgett threw for 162 yards. Foreman had 80 yards rushing. They're getting ready to get Herbert back this next year or next week. In fact, they probably took the wrong guy because C.J. Stroud is being talked in the MVP. He's not going to win it, but he's being in that NFL MVP talk.
I don't really know how crazy that is, man. But he doesn't turn the ball over at a high rate. He does not. For a rookie quarterback, what you expect, you know, say a high turnover.
Now, is that the quarterback or the system?
Yeah,
so if Bryce Young was in Houston's system, what would it look like?
I think with that, though, Brandon, it's a little unfair, man. Like, they gave up a lot.
Yep,
and thinking and not knowing that they needed still a lot to have around Bryce Young to be successful. Okay, what's the run game look like for the Carolina Panthers? Right, stinks. What's the wideouts look like for Carolina Panthers? They stink. What does the tight ends look like? I could go on and so forth. So we put a whole lot on Bryce Young's head, but like hell, Coach Frank Wright. Brandon, it sounded like he took that job just because he didn't want to be unemployed. You know what I mean?
I don't blame him.
So, I don't blame him because, like, you know what I'm saying, all the money is green. But, like, he gets in there and I say, well, I didn't really want him. But, like, man, how did you not want him with all the year evaluations in the offseason? Y'all moved up to get him. Y'all made that deal with Chicago. And, you know what I'm saying, to move up. And away you go. So, Brandon, the grading on this season, just remember a couple years ago, man, people kind of doubted what the Jaguars were going to do, right? And if the, you know what I'm saying, homie Goldilocks down there could play. And, you know what I'm saying, I think it's just going to take some time. You know what I'm saying? They got to get, you know what I'm saying, an offensive tackle. They got to get a left, you know what I'm saying, left tackle. You know what I'm saying, a running game. You know what I'm saying? They got to get special at the other positions as well, too, man, before we can just totally. We waiting on the black money for when Frank Wright gets fired anyway. That's what we are waiting on. So, you know, yeah. If Chicago didn't win that game, it'd have been real questions. But like, nah, man, you know, I can't wait to hear about this Undertaker conversation.
Oh, it's so many stories, talk about coming back from the dead. Besides the Undertaker, John, Baltimore pissed down their leg at the end of the game at home, and the Cleveland Browns, give me the Undertaker meme from Twitter. Undertaker sits up. Cleveland wins 33-31 over the Browns. Good Lamar, bad Lamar. How many times have we talked about that this year?
Man, stop, man. I feel like a prophet, man. Because now, like, all the, you know what I'm saying, the ESPNs of the world, the Fox Sports of the world are talking about, when Lamar not, dude, it's been on tape forever. When does he not throw an interception in a big-time game? It's not like Dak Prescott because, like, you kind of alluded to it. And I cannot still agree with you. I agree with you, Brandon. Like you said, the Ravens will stay close in the games to where Lamar will, you know saying, with his legs or with his dynamicism, right, if that's the word, make a play. Well, sometimes, like you alluded to as well, high-risk, high-reward, man. And unfortunately, man, there's a lot of high-reward plays. I mean, it's a high-risk play where it didn't go their way. And, again, it's happened again, man, Brandon, that's the game they needed. And, like, mathematically, man, this AFC North thing, and probably the potential of all of the AFC, is going to come down to, like, a game, a half game here or there.
Yeah, it's wild. Baltimore 7-3, Pittsburgh and Cleveland both 6-3, and the Bengals at 5-4. We'll go Bengals real quick, John. Man, just when we thought they're turning the corner, the Bengals lose. They lose to the Houston Texans 30-27. Wild NFL.
Yeah, wild NFL, man. The homie down there in Texas is probably flirting with potential coach of the year, man, because that, remember the last two seasons, man, nobody wanted the Houston Texans job. They had the quarterback didn't want to be there, and you know what I'm saying, there was a whole big controversy and all that. But, like, now Houston Texans the Houston Texans are over the Tennessee Titans and the Colts, are they not? And,
yeah.
And if the Jacksonville, as far as the division is concerned, and the Jacksonville Jaguars, man, that was bad. Look, that was a bad showing against
San
Francisco.
We thought they would get stomped. Me and you both picked the 49ers.
I thought they'd lose. I didn't think it'd be a bad showing like that, man. You know what I'm saying? So they scored three points all total, man. They couldn't move. They couldn't do anything. Other than let Brock Purdy like throw touchdowns on him, man. But like, nah, man. And then McCaffrey, he's the only one that didn't score. I think it's right. Something that's the fact, man. Everybody scored, man. So. Jacksonville still got some things kind of ironed out. But, like, man, now the AFC South, man, who knew, man? It's competitive. And, like I said, the total AFC, it's probably going to come down to, like, one, as far as playoffs, you know what I'm saying, contention's concerns, but come down to, like, one and a half games, two games, separating whoever wins the division versus whoever gets in or whoever don't get in.
I need you to apologize for a team, John, because
you got to apologize first.
You owe a team an apology.
Who I got to say sorry to? Minnesota.
You owe an apology because you left this team for dead, that they were done. It was a wrap. Everybody was either hurt and out. You owe the Minnesota Vikings, who are 6-4.
Yes,
you owe them an apology because with Josh Dobbs,
they out here winning.
The Steeler.
They out here winning one for the Gipper, man. That dude's on the sideline. Kirk Cousins. Out here, like Ronald Reagan was, and they, you know what I'm saying, playing Notre Dame, playing, what was he playing, New Rockney or something like that, man. He's out here winning one for the Gipper, man. Minnesota, you know what I'm saying, they allowed to get that wild card still.
Yeah, Minnesota's going crazy. Josh Dobbs, former Steeler, he's just out there, and it gives Minnesota a lot more versatility, and now they have to think about, now they're kind of in that playoff spot where they're thinking, Justin Jefferson, do we bring him back or not? Right now they are the seventh seed, so they would be taking on their rivals from the north, the Detroit Lions, in the first round of the playoffs right now if the playoffs start.
Hold on, man. You said the Pittsburgh Steelers. I can't believe that's who you owe an apology to, man. All that stuff.
No.
Whoa. All that stuff you put on their name, Mike, on Mike Canada,
John,
Matt Canada.
John,
go ahead.
It's still there. Listen, this Steelers team is the first team in NFL history. Through their first 9 games, they have been out-yardaged for offensive yards every game of the season, and they're still 6-3 somehow. First time in NFL history, a team is 6-3 after getting out yardaged every single game of the year.
Defense wins championships, man. That's all I can tell you.
Well, that is true. Tomlin did say today that he needs more from Pick. He needs more from Kenny. They are starting Jalen Warren now. They've announced today. They are going to start Jalen Warren over Najee Harris, which right now they're both getting good equal opportunity. And you know what, John? They rushed for 150 yards last week against the Packers. When's the last time that happened in a Steeler game? It's been a long time because the run game has sucked and the pass game has sucked, and we've gotten lucky on something. The Steelers win 23-19 over the Packers. Jordan Love, he looked all right. He looked all right that game, 289, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks.
The way I look at it, man, Pittsburgh is concerned. The inner brain starts of Pittsburgh concerned when they have to level up and play high-powered offensive teams or teams that can equal their defensive intensity.
And it's coming.
You know what I'm saying? Right, and we know right. They know it's coming down the pipeline. And right, they need more. They need Kenny. Oh my goodness, man! Like, dude, like there's a lot of bad quarterback play, man. Man, what's going on?
Yeah,
Mac
a lot
Jones,
of bad.
That kid, Zach Wilson, Kenny Pickett is not. I mean, he's. I mean, I'm just talking young quarterback play where guys I thought would kind of like air it out, and it's not translated. Either the game is going too fast for him, or the offense that the offense coordinator is putting guys in, man, it's not complimentary. Or I don't know, Brandon.
I will give you.
Go ahead. I think you're a young quarterback. I'm going to get this point out. I think it's different now. When you're a young quarterback, they always say you got to have a good running game. I think you also got to have a good tight end to be a safety net for him.
Well, and Freiermuth's been out for the last, like, 6 weeks. He's still in the IR, which it looks like he might be coming back this week, Tomlin said today in his presser. But I know I gave you my vote of confidence in Pickett early in the season, early in the year. But I also, we're on week 10 now. We just finished week 10. He's got 8 games left. I need to see in these final 8 games some improvement in the stat categories from Kenny. Not just in the fourth quarter. We can't keep just hanging in there for 3 quarters and then, all right, fourth quarter, let's play. Let's do our thing. I need more from Kenny. And there is a poor part of me, John, that says by the end of this season, if I don't see it, maybe he's not the guy. And that's the first time I'm ever saying that. But you can't go out here against a Green Bay Packers team that's struggling and you throw for 126 yards. 14 to 23 for 126 yards. The week before, 160 yards. Like, there's got to be more substance than that for what the hell you're throwing at. And week 8, when they Jacksonville, he threw for 73 yards because he got hurt in the game. But I got to see more, John. The Rams game, he threw for 230. But he's getting progressively worse in yardage right now, and that's a concern to me.
Right.
Now, people need to relax because people seem to think with me like, oh, now you think the Steelers are going to win the Super Bowl. No. Steelers ain't going to win the Super Bowl. No. This team is not built to win a Super Bowl. The offense is god-awful. We're beating the teams right now that you need to beat, and that's kind of where we are right now with this team. But Kenny's got to prove more. Yeah, this is getting to the end of the season. I'm going to be wondering, is this really the guy? Because there's going to be some other people out there that I don't know if you go and take a chance on them or not, what you could do possibly. If you look at this, so schedule for this week, they play at Cleveland this week.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go to Cincinnati. They played 6 of the first 9 games at home, by the way. So let's think about that real quick. They're 6-3. They've played 6 of their first 9 at home. So this is where the road test is going to be now. At Cleveland, at Cincinnati. That's 2 division games back-to-back that you got to deal with. And then you're home against the Cardinals. John, you agree. That's a must win. You have to beat the Cardinals in that. And that's in December. And then week 14, you're home on Thursday night, 5 days later. 5 days later on Thursday night, you're at home against the Patriots. That's another must win. So that's putting you at 8 wins. Yeah, that puts you at 8 wins there. And then the next week, you're on the road in Indianapolis. I'm not saying it's a must win, but if you really want to do anything and you want momentum, I feel like you got to beat the Colts in Indianapolis. Just the way the kind of Colts' season has gone,
right?
Got to beat Indianapolis.
Right. Right, and to add on to kind of what I just said, man, because Cleveland's defense is pretty darn good, man, and they ain't going nowhere. And I still expect a surge out of Cincinnati. They might go seesaw where they win one, lose one, win two.
Pittsburgh has not played Cincinnati yet this year, so we still got 2 more games with them in the final 8.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's a lot of more football left to play. Mm-hmm.
So Kenny's got – I got to see more, and I'm giving him 9 games to figure it out before I give my assessment, if it's a vote of confidence of yes, or if I think it's time to kind of be looking elsewhere. I still have faith in him, and it's only his second year and his first full season. But you got to figure something out. You got to figure something out. And the Steelers only right now 3 wins away from having that over 500 record again. So we'll see what happens with that. John, probably one of the best games of the week. Lions beat the Chargers 41-38 last second. Lions marching on to 7-2.
I know for a fact our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, loves the fact that the Detroit Lions are the number one team in the NFC North Division and are looking at potentially hosting a playoff game, right? All those things, kind of positive synergy kind of going on with that team in that city. You've got to kind of tip your hat to them. They kind of deserve. They had a lot of heartbreakers last year, if you want to compare last year versus this year. Close, they had a lot of close game heartbreakers where, you know what I'm saying, and like now they've got, staff supporting around. It's still a little hokey to me, Brad. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes they go too much for it on fourth down, and sometimes their special teams, you know what I'm saying? You know, you know what I mean? It's still, you know what I mean? You still print a little brand of footballs look a little bit too close to the edge, I would say, right? But, like, no, man, they're winning, and you can't take no away from that. The kid from Michigan, Hutchinson, again, he's having a pretty good season as well, man. They're hitting on all cylinders, man. No pun intended to the auto industry out there up in Detroit, man. But, like, yeah, man, the Lions. I'm not going to roar or anything, Brandon, but if I was a fan, I would be roaring.
How about them Cowboys, John? 49-17 over Tommy DeVito, the Italian from Long Island, lives at home with his parents still. Cowboys roll. Dak, 400 yards. Give him some respect.
CeeDee Lamb said he's the best receiver in the National Football League, man. I was like, wow.
11
man,
catches on 14 targets for 151 yards and a tutty.
That was pretty good. That was the elite performance, man, but I don't know, man.
He still wasn't the lead receiver on his team.
Right, he wasn't. He wasn't.
Brandon Cooks, so. 173 yards, but Cowboys look good, John. They're winning the games they need to win.
I know. You feel good. You feel good in your gut long-term about the Dallas Cowboys, you know what I'm saying, potentially upsetting the apple cart either in Philadelphia, you know what I'm saying, sometimes, you know what I'm saying, later on in the season. They still are the second or third best team. I have to, if you guys quit,
I got them.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I got them 10-3 going into December 10th. 10-3. I got them winning the next four games in a row.
Like you said, Kenny Pickett got to show you something. They got to show me more.
Because man. Sunday, December 10th is Sunday Night Football, and the evil big brother is coming to town, Philly.
The evil big brother. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens then. So there's a lot of winning in between there, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, well, John, I mean, you look at it real quick. I'll roll through. You play at Carolina.
Right. I'll win.
You play home against the Commanders on Thanksgiving.
It could be a slip up there, man.
You're home. The Thursday night game, you're at home against the Seahawks.
Could be a slip up
and
there,
then,
man.
I don't think so.
They could, man. Let's talk about this. Did you see Detroit? Did y'all be talking about the Broncos? You went the other way. I told you, I took Denver, buddy.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Oh my God, you need to
Broncos
play that.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Let's ride, Broncos. Broncos win 24-22. Josh Allen and the Bills, they fire Ken Dorsey today. They had 12 men on the field on the last play. I watched that collapse. I woke up with about 4 minutes to go. I fell asleep the start of the fourth, and I woke up with 4 minutes to go and watched the final four. John, I just – Broncos kicking. Rough.
I said, when are they going to fire the coach? Because you can fire all the coaches, man. Like, man, that's not good, man. Buffalo.
Are you the one that told me that you think the problem could be Josh Allen too?
I think it's internally. I think they did have a.
Is he the guy?
They had a players only meeting.
Okay.
And I think they have an internal problem where maybe guys don't like one another. But
is he the guy?
He got a lot of fumbles, man, and a lot of big time. Interceptions is one thing, Brandon, and those are unacceptable. But then you got interceptions and fumbles. What is that? What is like? I mean, that's not good,
Brandon.
Do
you trust him? Let me ask you this.
They went away from
going into the playoffs, you have to choose one of these two quarterbacks to lead your team. Are you choosing Josh Allen or are you choosing Dak Prescott? That might be a good trivia question.
Oh, wow. Oh, man, that's hurtful.
It's not hurtful. I think it's a great debate. I'm going to put it on our Facebook thing right now.
I'm going to go with – I'm going to have the edge in the playoffs. Oof. You almost have to go with Josh Allen, man. But, like, dude, I'm gonna say Dak right now because he usually has a better bounce back game. And Buffalo, I get it. This is a little bit harder of an opponent. But, like, no, man, Buffalo should have – this is definitely a game they should have, you know, say at home. This is not on the road. No, man, they should have won this game, man. So, like, no, man. I would say Dallas and Dak Prescott.
We just put it on Facebook a minute ago, so we'll see what kind of responses.
Yeah, not looking
get
good. Josh Allen's not looking good.
No, he's not, John. And it's I wonder how much is him and how much is the system. Maybe I don't know. It's
they really don't have a hell of a running game at all, whatsoever. You know what I'm saying?
Naheem Hines.
He's targeting the dig thing is like, you know, like when they put it on scientifically on paper, man, he overlooks things. It's almost like it might be personal.
Right. I agree with that. Man, real quick, I'm just looking, just saw a score come up out. Big Ten basketball, John, real quick. Man, they need to figure it out. Figure it out quick. Right now, they got the Gavitt games going on. You know, Purdue had a big win last night. This is real quick. We got the Champions Classic right now. Duke and Michigan State, they're tied at 12. But Providence, the Friars, who lost their coach, Ed Cooley, who went to Georgetown.
Right.
10 minutes ago, second half, Providence 51. Wisconsin 33. They're down by 20.
Oh, man. Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Damn, man.
And another thing I put on Twitter yesterday, people need to relax because Villanova is not the Villanova that has been there. Jay Wright's retired. The cupboard is starting to become bare, and I think it showed very clear last night when Penn beat. Now, Penn Quakers are decent. But they went into the Postradia, and they beat Villanova last night. So, just saw that score come across. Yeah, I expected more from Patino.
Well, he got to get the team buy-in. They'll figure it out.
I mean, while we're on basketball.
Yeah.
Are we a little? Nick Peterson on the call, but are we a little concerned what's going on down in Bloomington? Because if you're just beating the Bobby Knight's team barely, Army, and we're celebrating it like it's and we're going crazy, there's some problems down there, man. It looks like a 6-man rotation down in Bloomington.
Brandon, they were supposed to be a 26-point favorite over Army.
And whoever they played the first week, they were supposed to be a 20-point.
They were down at the half.
Yeah.
Versus Army. They have an NBA guy who has NBA scouts.
Allegedly.
Right? And they had this dude was all Mac. Paige Sparks. He's all Mac 2 years going. He can't get on the floor, Brandon. He didn't play in the first game.
Nope.
He didn't. I mean, he dressed. He didn't play.
John, you beat Florida Gulf Coast by 6, and you beat Army by 8. Both of these teams are winless still. The net, 248 and 178. Not good.
Are they gonna make? Are these teams gonna make the tournament? I'm talking about IU included.
Well,
no, I'm joking.
I use strength of schedule. There's what 300 and some schools.
It should turn up. It should turn up here pretty soon. They play Wright State next.
Yeah, they play them Thursday. Wright State at home, and then they go
to
Square Garden and take on Connecticut.
Yeah, it's gonna turn up for them.
Then they're at home against Harvard.
They better get the wins while they can and when they can.
Yeah, right now their strength of schedule is number 261, 261st. They are in the final quadrant. The lower quadrant, as Jim Irsay would say, of strength of schedule is where they're at. Looking at the flip side of the Hoosiers, Boilermakers, we'll hit all our teams here real quick. Boilermakers 3-0, beat Sanford, beat Moorhead. Beat a good Xavier team, a decent Xavier team last night. Xavier 22nd in the net, beat them by 12. They play in the Maui Invitational coming up this coming Monday. At 5 o'clock, they play Gonzaga on Monday night. And they have a chance, John, to either play Tennessee, number 1 Kansas, UCLA, or number 4 Marquette still in that Maui Classic. And then you've got Texas Southern at home, Northwestern, Iowa, and then you got Alabama, December 9th, and you got number 12, Arizona, who Arizona, John, we'll get to them. In his own comes to Indy Classic, Jonathan, I'm going to try to get us possibly some credentials for that Arizona, the Ball State one. It just depends what day the Pittsburgh Colts game is, because it could be the same damn day, and it could be a shitstorm that day, so downtown Indy. But, Boilermakers are sitting there right now, number 2 in the country. If we look at Ball State, John, they're 1-0. Technically, they beat Goshen, who was non-Division 1. They beat Old Dominion on Saturday by 5.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, right now, they're playing another non-Division 1 school in Oakland City. And Ball State's up by 10 right now for that. They play at Evansville this Saturday. Evansville 1-0 to start their year.
Ball State should beat the Evansville. But it should be a
team that I'm going to keep an eye on more this year is they're 1-1 already, but Notre Dame, Michael Shrewsbury coming over from Penn State back into the state of Indiana. They beat Niagara by 7. They lost to Western Carolina, a bad one on Saturday up there in South Bend. They play Thursday night in Brooklyn against Auburn. That'll be a decent game to kind of see how they match up with Auburn before they kind of get into their ACC-SEC challenge. So looking for more from Notre Dame. And then the last one, John, I want to hit. Where are they at? The Sycamores, John, Indiana State, shout out. They played St. Mary's of the Woods. They won by 30, non-Division I school. Last Friday night, they went to Tuscaloosa, took on number 24, Alabama. They lost 102-80. They put up 80 points against Alabama. So I consider that a plus. And then right now, they're actually playing at home against IUPUI, up 41-18 right now in the first half on IUPUI.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, a couple of things that we'll be me and Brandon will probably get to check out up close and personal as our credentials kind of come in. I know Indiana State they're an up tempo team, and that's kind of how they want to play. IUPUI has also themselves kind of come out the gate of winning, but like yeah, you know what I'm saying, real test for them both of those teams kind of tonight, and we kind of be interested to see who wins you know, say who's the fortunate son, kind of went on that game. Because I do believe, doesn't Indiana State play IU in 2 weeks, I think, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that. But like,
they
basketball.
No, Indiana State does not play IU.
I thought
they play Ball State.
Oh, okay, that's right. Yeah. So
the same day of the Indy Classic, the same day Purdue and Arizona play in Indy, Ball State and Indiana State play.
Oh man, it's gonna be wild. It's there. So like, yeah, man. You know, basketball is in almost. It's in full swing. You know what I'm saying? I can't. You know, we'll be losing our minds about that.
Yep. Speaking of losing our minds, let's bring our guy on, Decott. What's going on? Heading up down I-74.
Hey. Good evening, gentlemen.
Welcome back.
Good to hear you guys, man. Y'all doing okay?
Yeah, doing well.
Good. Yep. Hey, so I came in, I'm hearing hoops, right? So I want to hit on that. So, you know, Indiana struggled mightily, but that's why you start off with the cupcakes early in the season, right, to work out the kinks. I'm hoping this isn't, you know, what they're going to be this year, because they couldn't shoot worth a blank, and they couldn't defend worth a blank, especially on the pick and roll. A little disappointed in that at this stage of where Mike is and with the guys. He doesn't have a bunch of freshmen coming in. He's got some veteran players, but they didn't look really good at all, especially, like I said, that pick and roll and those high screens, man,
mm-hmm.
really, really bothered them a lot. Disappointed in that. So we'll see what happens the next go-around. But I'm hoping when you start off with these cupcakes, you build up like everybody else does. And hopefully our big guy from Oregon can do a little bit more than just sit out there and complain a lot. So, we'll see what he brings to the table when the Big Ten season comes about and he's playing against top-end players. But I'm a little worried about him. I got to admit, I'm a little worried about him. You hear that, Brandon? You hear that? That neutrality? I'm a little worried about it.
Yeah, I texted John. I said I feel like I'm not being any facetious against IU, but I said I feel like I said with him with this Mike Woodson team in year two, with what he got, you got to be deeper than six guys. You got to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That always worries me. You know who does that too. The Arkansas coach, man, Musselman, he plays seven guys, maybe eight tops. But it just, you can't, I don't know. I'm not going to say you can't because they know a lot more about this thing than I do. But it's just disappointing seeing guys that could potentially help you. Even when guys get worn down a little bit, you don't play as well because you're a little tired. Give them a blow, especially in the first half. So, but maybe there's something happening in practice that Mike is seeing, and he said, you know, you're not going to play. You know, you gotta earn this stripe. So maybe it's a damn ugly red sweater. Maybe that ugly red sweater he's wearing. I swear it doesn't look right. I know why he's doing it, but it doesn't fit the same.
Playing time is supposed to be earned. I do remember that, man. But they're playing teams that, you know what I'm saying, they should necessarily be teeing off on, man. Like the guys that who are like borderline, like this is a teachable moment. They need to get burned. Those are the kind of things in my mind when I kind of think about before, you know what I'm saying, before we start jumping off and playing, you know what I'm saying, the Arizonas of the world and just putting our, you know what I'm saying, our young guys to the feet of the fire, man. Well, they got to get up to that. But if you ain't playing them, then how can you expect them to excel when you need them, you know what I'm saying, in a really crunch time game?
Yeah, and it shouldn't have been a crunch game. You win by eight at home. I'm guessing they take the loss on a neutral court, man. In that game just the other night, I'm guessing that take a loss, and I hate saying that, but I think that would have been a loss on a neutral court. You know,
I gotta ask you. Go ahead.
Uh-huh.
I thought you said basketball. I thought you were gonna come in because it hasn't happened in quite some time that Pacers beat the Milwaukee Bucks. And what you was there, weren't you?
Yeah, me and Reggie. Yeah, we were there, man. We were hot. You know,
so the homie Giannis guys went off for 55.
Hey, he can have 65 as long as we get the win. And that's what I told Reggie in the first quarter. But I think he's at 24 in the first quarter. I said, everybody's like, he's got too many points. I said, but we're winning. That's all that matters. And so many people are worried about hanging X on a team. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you all sponsor. Scott K. messages in our chat. Group, oh, he's killing the Pacers. So what? We went away with a W, man. Come on, that doesn't move me like it moves others, right? But I do want to real quick.
Go ahead. Go back.
Is Carlos Knox still at IUPUI? I haven't been following him.
As the head coach, no, man. One of my good buddies is the head coach down, man. Carlos Knox is Knox is back in I want to say either Tulane. He might be coaching I can't remember, man. Don't give me the line, man.
Okay.
But I think he coaches.
Okay, but it's cool. I was just wondering about that. I wasn't for sure, and I wanted to make sure I asked, because I heard you all speak about IUPUI. Maybe we got to catch a game.
He is Carlos Knox is the. Now he's now the University of Notre Dame's director of player development for Michael Shrewsbury.
Okay. Good for him. Good for him, man. Good for him. But you know, but back to the Pacers, and you know, you got this garbage going on tonight. Back to back game on the road with the same team. That's what this gimmick has created. It's not an in-season tournament. It's a gimmick tournament, and it's ridiculously horrible.
Man.
I can't wait till it's over, right? And we'll see what happens, but unfortunately,
we're going to get stomped again tonight. Probably Joel Embiid is going to make Miles Turner's bitch once again.
They're up. I think they were up six when I called in. But again, to your point though, Brandon, that's not a good matchup. That's not a good matchup, and he's not a good matchup for a lot of teams, not just the Pacers. But it's really a bad matchup for the Pacers because your best defensive, you know, player is kind of like your softest in the same sense in the post, right? And that's a challenge, you know. So we'll see what happens. Can't wait for them to get back home and get them home cooking, because I don't expect them to do much tonight. Can't watch it anyway because, you know.
Five times last year, Decott, Pacers had back-to-back games against an opponent. So it wasn't just
it happened five other times. Not on the road they didn't.
Yes.
Not on the road they didn't.
Yes. Saturday, October 29th, and Monday, October 31st, they played both games in Brooklyn. They played both games in Detroit. I'm looking at them right now.
I apologize. I don't remember that being the case last year. And this is just – but here's the deal. I guess this
March
game tonight is a tournament game, which is why that's there, right?
Well,
tournament game, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, you know, maybe that's my fault. I take the L on that one, but I'm
no,
not.
No, you're good.
No thanks.
They actually had two games last year home against the Magic back to back, November 19th and November 21st.
This just seems odd to me. This just seems really uncomfortable.
Oh, it is. Very much.
And maybe I didn't pay as much attention last season, because I'm so blinded by the tournament, because my hatred for the tournament. It's probably so strong. I missed an easy one, right? So what do you think of
Kevin Garnett? What he said about the Pacers? Did you see the clip?
No, I don't. I don't watch a lot of opinions. So what did he say? I don't.
Well, you watch our opinions, so.
Y'all my boys. Though.
He said that the Pacers are one of his favorite teams to watch this year, and he loves all the guys. They're all out there working to play hard. It's a different type of mentality and a different type of team you're seeing out there than what you see with the other NBA teams. But his co-host says, yeah, they look great on offensively. People are sitting there, Halliburton doing this, because, but they give up a shit ton of points on defense.
But you know what? Let me tell you this, right? And that part is accurate, but I'll give you the first piece, right? When I hear these opinion shows and stuff like that, and the guys that aren't in the locker room or aren't following the team, I don't add a lot of value, good or bad, just to be honest. It doesn't move me much. But the defensive thing is kind of having a little myth, right? I'm at the game. These guys are in their stances. The problem is you're talking about possessions, and not just that, but you're talking about possessions. Think back with the Denver Rockets back in the ABA days. I remember loving watching them come because I knew we were going to score a lot of points. It didn't matter because the way they play creates the opportunity for more points. I would love to see a breakdown of pace of this team playing and how many points the whole game is versus a Pacers team. I just think they have a 15 to 25 point higher pace. I mean, those guys aren't scrubs on defense. They're playing defense. I just think it's a possession thing, and I could be wrong. I think it's the number of possessions, and I think they're ready to get the ball out the net and go with it, right? But, you still got to be able to, and when the time is right, slow that ball down and get a strong possession. Remember I told you guys about the game against the Bulls. We shot ourselves out of that because our mind says, let's get up and down the court as fast as we can. That wasn't that game for them. Speaking of talking heads, did y'all hear what Boston's coach said? He wants a minimum of 50 threes a game. I was listening to NBA radio, and that was with Amino Hassan, and I forget the other guy. And he said he wanted 50 threes a game. Did y'all hear that?
No, I did not. But that's
they were clowning him, saying that's why are you putting the type of pressure on guys jacking up threes that way, right? I think it was after the Philly game, if I'm not mistaken.
Our sponsor Scott K. Nichols says until the Pacers play defense, they'll just be a fun team. And he says at DCOT, stop it. Pacers don't give the same effort on defense as they do offense.
Hey, tell him, because I'm on my phone. Tell him, let me know. We can go to the game together. We can sit and watch it. Because I love talking hoops with him. Because he, you know what? I know he's emotional about LeBron and all that, and he loves him to death. I know he's hearing me. But I love talking serious hoops with him. But we got to sit next to each other. We can't do it on the internet. We got
to he can't go to a game. He's too busy. He's too busy traveling the world, man. Every time I see him, he's on a beach somewhere.
Hey, but you know he got to come back to Indy sometime soon. And when he does, we got to hook up because, again, like I said, when we get to talking serious, just me and him, it's a whole different ball game. And, yes, they're not going to put the type of effort on defense because the mindset of that overrated coach, Mr. 900 wins, get the ball up the court. Because he understands, I got to make these guys happy because I know my coaching isn't going to make them happy. So let me make them happy by running. What player
doesn't want to
run?
You want to make some money?
I'm sure.
Well, hopefully you've been taking these Pacers over-unders because they're 9-1. They've hit the over 9 out of 10 games this year.
That's a good get, man. That's a definite good get. I disagree with Scott from the defensive perspective. Yes, they're not going to play the type of defense that they play on offense, but it's not lackluster. If you watch they're playing defense, it's just not the most. It's 60-40. Their deal is let's get up down the court
and
let's
make
things happen.
Playing that Olay defense.
Well, I don't know. I would say Olay. I would say Umay. So, but we'll see what happens over the next few weeks. I can't. Matter of fact, I'm going to reach out to him and let them know. Let's figure, because I got the 22nd. We might be able to do that game the 22nd next Wednesday and see if we can make half happen. Last pivot.
Hold on. I got breaking news. Breaking news from the college football universe. John, you better hold on to your hats. The report. UCLA is likely to fire head coach Chip Kelly after the USC game. So Chip Kelly will not make it to the Big Ten. He will be fired after the game against USC this weekend.
I'll always say, you make sure you can get better. Make sure you can get better. That's all I'll say. And I don't know who that guy is. Maybe that guy's name his initials are DS. Who knows, right? potentially. I don't think that Sanders finishes next after his son leaves. I don't think he finishes one more season at Colorado.
Woo!
And that's not like some earth shattering news. Come on, there's a lot.
He'll be there. His kids are going to be there at least for another season.
No. I said after whatever. I think should do the youngest the safety. He's the younger of the two. And
I heard Jonathan Birdsong was going to pay. He was going to get a loan out. And Jonathan Birdsong was going to pay whatever it took to get Deion Sanders up there to West Lafayette. He don't have to change his colors at all from Colorado. He can keep the same colors.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. And of course, it'll be interesting, right, to see how it all shakes out. But he's not long for that play. Jonathan, what say you? What do you say Deion's next stop is?
John's on the line, but I'm not hearing him. I don't know if he's got us on mute.
I'm not hearing him either. Well, he can hear us. So listen, I don't want to hog off everybody's time. College football, Brandon.
Yeah.
I know you can mark to the tape. It was week three. You all beat me up verbally.
Yep.
I had to hide for 2 weeks from about my guys. I said I wouldn't be surprised if you see him in that SEC title game holding that trophy up. It wouldn't surprise me, man. Milroe has been exactly what I said. As the season goes, he's going to get better. And I'm going to tell you this. A lot of people knock the offensive coordinator from Tommy Rees, but he's fed him nice and slow. And if you saw that game, I didn't see any of the Kentucky game. I was doing my Veterans Day stuff. But I got a feeling that there's something there. And it wasn't like – I'm not saying they're a national title, but – if they win that SEC game and get in the playoffs, it's only four teams. It's not 20 teams.
Yeah.
So
I've got them. They're plus money right now to put them in the college football playoff, which I think is crazy that they're plus money. Because I can easily see them go in and call. I kind of want them to beat Georgia just because I want chaos the final year of this four teamer. I want chaos. And I sent John a tweet. Let me ask you this, Decott. I sent him a tweet or a text. I may have sent him a text. Let me find that text. So I did a hypothetical, and the hypothetical I had to him was – give me a second here. I just had it, damn it. It is – where are you at? Your Big Ten champion, whether it be Michigan or Ohio State, whoever wins that game, you've got Florida State – ACC champ, undefeated. You have Oregon. Say Oregon beats Washington, so they're 12-1, Pac-12 champ. Texas, your Big 12 champ at 12-1. Bama, your SEC champ at 12-1. Georgia, 12-1, SEC runner-up. Washington, 12-1 as your runner-up. And then Ohio State or Michigan, whoever loses, is 12-1. There's going to be some teams left out of the dance there, and I told John...
That's real chaos.
I don't think Texas is going to make it. I really don't. I don't even think – I have Texas and Florida State, even an undefeated Florida State, I have them out.
I would say this, right? The Texas win, they're hanging – they're hoping that Bama runs the table, obviously, because that's going to strengthen their deal and their story. But what I would say is this, and even – I think if to the point of what you just said, if Florida State stays undefeated – Texas wins out, Oregon wins out, or Washington wins out, either or. I don't see Bama getting in there, and not because of, skill or whatever. I just think it's Bama fatigue, man. I think it's Bama fatigue. People want to see something new. They're tired of Georgia already, too, right?
I think there's plenty of Georgia fatigue, too.
Yeah, right, but it's 10 times as much Bama fatigue, right? Because of you talk about the last 17 years, but my pain is with that. Somebody's going to get left out no matter what, and if you can go to 12 teams next year, I promise you, guess what's going to happen? Somebody's going to get left out. Think about what happens in March. We're complaining about the 65th team, man. So people got pumped their brakes. Oh, I can't believe this happened. Settle down. Stop listening to all those long-winded talk shows. The disrespect is real. Everybody can't get in, man. And I'm going to tell you, Bama can run the table. They can beat Georgia. But what you just said happened, Brandon, with those teams winning, Bama's not in. Bama's not. And it wouldn't surprise me if they put Georgia in. It wouldn't surprise me. That's just my thought.
With the Chip Kelly news out of UCLA likely, and – I know you'd like to see Deion maybe head out there, but if they don't go that route, could we see who just got terminated, a Jimbo Fisher, take his $76 million and head out there to UCLA?
It's money there in Texas, because that oil money is real, right? That oil money, and then you're being in the SEC. And then, you know, Deion's done a lot of talking. Let's see if you're going to back it up with, because remember he said he felt he was the best coach in the country, right? Remember he said that. I felt I'm the best. Oh, okay. If you feel you're the best, take UCLA or A&M. That's what I say.
I don't think
he's going to leave.
Yeah, can Jimbo take a SEC scheme of Texas A&M, whether it worked or not? Can he take that and be successful in the, well, I mean, the Pac-12? I mean, by the time he get there, it's going to be the Big Ten. But can he take that up into the Big Ten and possibly be successful?
Man, I think a lot of smoke and mirrors with Jimbo, man. I think he owes half that $75 million to Nick. I mean, I've never been a Jimbo guy. You know, granted, he was, you know, assistant coach for Nick, and that's fine. But when he was in Florida State, he talks all fast. He talks confused. He never makes a point that's clear and concise. He just always remember. He says, "Oh, that guy told me. He says I bought players. Blah 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 blah." He goes on. Ask anybody ever worked with him. Well, you worked with him.
Did Deion take Colorado a year too soon? Because Zach Arnett just got fired from Mississippi State, and that's not too far from Jackson State. That could have been a good marriage, possibly.
But you know the thing about the Mississippi State deal, Arnett was never going to be the guy. I have someone that I'm familiar with that's in the Mississippi State, you know, family, director of alumni services. He was alienating people his first month in because he's so intense. He's so fired up, and he didn't come in like a head coach. He came in like, I've got something to prove. I'm a defensive coordinator, and I'm going to show you. But what he did, he came behind Mike Leach, who's an easygoing, those other things, that's fine, but he's a likable personality. Arnett has never been a likable personality. And what he did, he prided himself on that, to put himself in that position. He was never going to be that guy, man, unless they would have came out with 9-3 this year or something like that. He was never going to be that guy. But I don't know that Deion goes back to Mississippi after leaving Jackson State. Yes, it's a step up. However, the thought process is it could be a building block for Deion, right?
Right.
To see what goes on. And he could say, hey, I'm back in Mississippi. Here I go.
What? Let me ask you another one. Oh, yeah, the talent's there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know where John is going. John's lost the call. I don't know where the hell he's at. If he fell asleep, I don't know. So I'm talking college football with Decott. Maybe this is the Reef and Decott show. I don't know. Maybe.
You know what? You know, hey, it sounds pretty good. Let me
ask you this. State fires their offensive coordinator. They're getting ready to have their seventh offensive coordinator since James Franklin's been the head coach. I'm starting to believe it's not an offensive coordinator problem. I think it's the head of the table.
There's no starting, bro. We talked about this, too. James Franklin, he panicked in the first quarter, and he never recovered, right? And he's never brought in a quarterback that can be not just a dual threat guy, but a guy that can make a difference. He wants a game manager at quarterback because he's at Penn State. He better go down south and get one of those young cats that can do it all. He hasn't had that do-it-all guy. Yeah, he's got the running back. Yeah, he's got the linebacker. Yeah, he's got the defensive backs. But that quarterback position in the Big Ten, it's not just a game manager anymore, even in the Big Ten. Those guys are still scoring 25 to 30 points a game. So I say – I'm not saying fire the guy, James Franklin. That's not cool to say that. But him being there – He's been given an opportunity, obviously, a big opportunity. And if they're okay with 9-3, okay, fine. Keep him there. That's what I would say. Well, what do you want, Penn State? Are you okay with 9-3?
They want to beat Michigan. They haven't done that in forever.
Well, in that case, unless you got somebody else coming in to Happy Valley, the white uniforms, the Fighting Joe Paternos, I don't know that you look for somebody else. I mean, I think there's a ceiling where he's at, but I don't know who you grab to punch through that ceiling, though, man.
Right.
Is it Chip Kelly? Is it Chip Kelly? You know, I mean, you gotta have somebody with a quarterback, man, that has a quarterback mindset, and I don't know that Franklin does.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was looking at candidates for Texas A&M, possibly, and, you know, there's four names I have on my list who could be possible candidates for this position. I've got Dan Lanning at Oregon, even though I don't know why he would leave Oregon for Texas A&M unless he doesn't want the income tax, and I can understand that.
Right.
I don't think Texas A&M is stupid enough to go the Florida State route again like they did with Jimbo and go get Norvell, because I don't think they would. Norvell, he may jump if he was offered, but I don't think they're going to do that again, going that route. You could throw the name out there, but I've seen a couple reports of Lane Kiffin, but I just don't see Lane Kiffin going to A&M. I think he's got what he's got at Ole Miss, and it's good enough for him to stay there. But I think Mike Elko from Duke, he was the old defensive coordinator for A&M previously. Yeah. That's a perfect marriage.
But you know, the thing about Elko, right, it kind of reminds me of the James Franklin. You're at a school with higher academics, you know, and also my man, Ty Willingham in Stanford. You've got that platform, right? And yes, you've overachieved in where you had. You don't have any, you know, any real pressure on you as a CEO of those schools. That's going to change, man, wherever you go elsewhere. And I haven't seen those guys from Ty, like you said, Elko. Also, you're talking about who else? Escapes me right now. But those guys leaving those schools where the expectations aren't Brady Hoke, and also the guy from West Virginia who went to Michigan,
Rich Rod.
Yes, the expectations weren't there, and you're able to exceed those based off of the expectations. Well, that's going to ramp up about 50%. And where do you stand? You got to find some guys that are assistant coaches. They're like, you know, hey, I'm that dude recruiting wise. I'm that guy with my offensive scheme. If you don't do that, you're toast. And I don't see any of those guys we just talked about being the guy because of just that from an expectation perspective.
Do you feel? Yeah, I agree with that. I, like you said, I just don't know talent pool. Who else the hell's out there that you would feel comfortable with?
You got to go risk on a guy, right? You got to go risk a guy. You remember, you know, when Brian Kelly came with Central Michigan, right? Then he went to Cincinnati. You need somebody at ground up, right? Not at a school where he's overachieving. The guy from Minnesota, the tie and sweater guy.
Row the boat.
But you know what? Minnesota's done nothing. Again, he didn't have the pressures either, right? And look, I bet you Minnesota's probably a 500 team with him as coach.
Mel Tucker's available.
Yeah. Hey, my man Mel, man. I wouldn't mind seeing him back down in Tuscaloosa, man. I wouldn't have a problem with that. But with that baggage that he has, I don't think that's going to happen. But the word came out that young lady set him up big time. So
damn.
I think he has an opportunity, but maybe not down there in Tuscaloosa, but maybe elsewhere in the next couple of years. But
Harbaugh suspension. Too less, too much, not enough. Do we need more?
I feel like it should have been, from my perspective, a monetary issue, not just a game suspension, right? So I don't know. I mean, you can say $10 million in Michigan. Is that too much? I don't know. But I thought monetary and scholarships. And here's why I say that. I'm not a Michigan fan. But let's be honest here. Those head coaches, you may not be pulling the trigger, but you know who shot the gun. And for them to say he was a rogue guy, those guys, he's making, what, $30,000 a year? I promise you, he's not doing anything rogue. Let's be honest here, right? You're you know, those guys that you know are not coaches, that are analysts or what have you, about $30,000 a year is where they're at. He ain't doing that by himself, man. And that's my concern. You know, of course, the Michigan faithful. Oh no, it's a witch hunt, and that sounds great to think. But at the end of the day, man, you know, you can say, hey, my fingerprints aren't on the gun and I didn't give the bullet. That's that's great. You can rest on that. But I believe this is Harbaugh's last year regardless.
I do. I agree as well. I don't think he's got as much talent coming in next year as what he's got now. So he might as well strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah,
sure.
And so then you can say, I told you so. Or if he loses, he says, well, we were going through so much, we couldn't overcome it, right? So it's a win-win for him, in my humble opinion. He can't lose in his case because he's going to be the professional victim.
Let me ask you this, because I don't have my co-host with me, so you're the temp co-host tonight.
We rolling, baby.
I got to know, man. Philadelphia, I'm going to go back to the association. Philadelphia 76ers, undefeated since the Harden trade. Clippers, winless since the Harden trade.
Addition
what a cancer
subtraction.
He is.
Addition by subtraction, right? The guy said that he was never given the reign in Philadelphia. Daryl Morey handpicked him. He plugged himself out of Brooklyn. Well, I said Brooklyn, I'm sorry. Out of New Jersey, put himself into Philadelphia, and had the audacity to say he wasn't supported the way he needed to be supported. If that isn't the coup de grace, there is none. So, that was painful to me, man, seeing that. Real talk.
They're
that was
so bad.
That was very
so bad. I watched the Clippers the other night against Memphis. My God, the team was discombobulated.
And I tell you, this is funny you say that, Brandon. You know, speaking of the Clippers, and you know, and you do see the Jerry West interview on the podcast with PG-13 or PG-12, whatever the hell his name is now. He said to him, "I don't understand how players of your magnitude, yourself and Kawhi, can only play 40% of the games. That's not." And PG was stunned. I forget exactly what he said. It was that, you know, oh, you're hurt, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I don't see it happen because their mindset is when it hurts, I got to get out the game, right? When it hurts,
right.
I got to get out. And I think that's a mentality to have. It's, you know, they talk about in football, you got to have that tough mentality, run the ball mentality. Well, their mentality is when it hurts, I'm done. And unfortunately for the Clipper fans, I don't see any win. Yeah, you got four really talented guys, but you got four really talented guys if this were, you know, 2015. But it's not. This is 2023. And that's my
pain
for them, man.
Pacers up at halftime against the 76ers. Tyrese Halliburton at the half, 20 points, 6 assists, 0 turnovers, 7 of 10 shooting, 6 of 8 from 3.
He's smart, man. He's a smart dude. If you watch him, and Scott will agree with me on this, you watch Halliburton, he's a difference maker. He's not the fastest guy, tallest, he's not the quickest, but that dude makes such great decisions when the ball is in his hand. And that's why Chicago jumped him when they were here and took the ball out of his hand. He's such a facilitator / difference maker. You know, it's such a drop when he's out of the game, man.
This court is ridiculous. The red court, I just can't. I can't even. My eyes are hurting watching this.
Yeah, it's definitely painful, man. I'll admit that. But you know the thing with that, right? You know the Pacers, they played really well in the first half. Watch this third quarter. You know, feel like the crowd will get behind them a little bit. They'll get on a little run. Rick will do his fast timeout, walking like he's mad at the world. And then watch the players when they slump out, right? When they say, "Damn, man, don't be so this on us, right?" And that's what I think, you know, probably going to happen again. But Halliburton can't play 40 minutes a game, though. You know, you've got to develop a type of scheme that's going to allow him to play 35 minutes a game, not 40 minutes a game. So, you know, what is his 5 minutes? That's 5 minutes at an NBA pace, not 5 minutes, you know, at a high school basketball pace. That's
right.
What I believe. And I hate to say this, I think McTryhard would be a great person when Halliburton is playing. Not when he's out. He doesn't move the needle. And I'm talking about McTryhard. I'm talking about
McConnell.
Yeah, McConnell. Yeah, TJ McConnell. That's what I believe.
Sixers are I just looked up the spread for the third quarter. Sixers minus 3.5 for the third quarter.
Yeah. That's about right. Yep. Because it's going to happen, man. It's going to happen. And if I'm not one of those bettors that bets, you know, quarters have that much. But if I was one of those guys, I'd dump a load, man, on the Sixers and covering that 3.5. They you know, I don't know what they talk about at the halftime, but it just doesn't kind of resonate in the third quarter. Versus Nate McMillan, when he was coaching, third quarter was the Pacers' best quarter. So what does that mean, right? What are we talking about at halftime, right? So I believe that, you know, if the game is tight, the Pacers have a chance, but they've got to keep it tight. If it's 6-8, you know, like that, 10, Pacers don't have a chance to win, because I just don't believe they have the resolve right now because they're going to be jacking up those threes. You got to slow it down when it's necessary. You can't say, well, this is just how we do. This is what we're going to do. And that's what they did against Chicago. That's what got them beat. You know, you lead for the first, you know, 40
and then
minutes of the game.
You could tell on that game with Haliburton, he was trying too hard to make something, and that's where he lost the ball. And it was just like, dude, pass the ball there at that point. You've cut all the effort for way too long. But he'll get more. He's still young. He'll develop. And I am a little not concerned, but I feel like Ben Mathurin has taken a little bit of a step back from where he was at last year. That sophomore
slump.
It's
funny. My neighbor Tyrone said the exact same thing. He said the exact same thing. That's why they have to have that conversation between him and Mr. 900. I mean, it's too early in the season to be having a one-on-one conversation with your coach. And you're in the starting lineup. I think he feels he's got some things to prove. I think he feels like he's got to show, hey, I'm the man. Similar to when Austin Crozier got the starting position years ago when the Pacers were doing their thing, and he got into the, I think it was Isaiah's first year, and he wasn't the same. It's different, man. You're not playing against the same type of talent and guys, and you got to understand that he's got to be a smarter guy. Rushing shots. Now, I'm not going to say threes. He doesn't shoot a whole lot of threes, but he rushes a lot of shots. And I think he's trying to prove himself. You know, Buddy Hield need to start shooting better. I tell you what, or he'll find himself what was the kid? I forget his name. But, you know, if he's not hitting threes, Buddy Hield, I understand he's one of the fan favorites. But he can't be in the game playing 20 minutes a game if he's not hitting threes, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's my thought on Buddy. I like him. The guy's, you know, Chase Buttinger, that's his name. Remember Chase Buttinger?
Yeah.
That's who Buddy Hill's going to turn into if he don't start hitting shots. Yeah. So I understand you got things to prove. This is his last year of a $19 million deal. You should have a little bit more gumption to you to make some of those shots, man. And right now, I think he's pressing a little bit too, because he's not comfortable in coming off the bench. Remember, that's why he was allowed to seek a trade. He wasn't a fan of coming off the bench. So, who knows what will and won't happen. But if something doesn't fix between that Ben and Buddy. And Obi Toppin, I was really happy with Obi Toppin. He's got to play better on defense.
He's got 14 points tonight so far. So I've been on his ass all year. Unfortunately, I've been on his ass, and John will be the first.
I'm with you there, man. And he's got to do something about that. And if not, do you put in Isaiah to get some of his minutes? Washington, the guy plays defense all the time.
Yeah, I think the problem is you lose a little bit of that offensive spark when you need it. When you take him out, that corner three, it kind of spaces out the rest of the court. That's where my concern is doing that. But
I'm with you 100%. You know, the flip side is that, you know, does someone else step up? Because to your point, to Scott's point, you gotta stop somebody at some point, right? And I think Isaiah has earned a little bit more playing time, man. With big blocks and going after it hard. I'm not saying he's a 30-minute a game guy, but give Obi Toppin through the next 10-15 games. We're not going to just throw him to the trash right now, But I definitely think it needs to be looked at for sure.
Last thing, Bruce Brown, he came out that first night, 24 points. In the last nine games, he's only touched double figures three times. So he's
you know why? You know why? Because he's sitting in the corner waiting on a shot. He's sitting in the corner waiting on a shot, man. He's got to be that guy that he was, not you know necessarily exactly like that guy he was in Denver, but what got him paid and what got him floor time wasn't spotting up. His defensive prowess, right, able to guard the two, three, or four, and his heart. And I just haven't seen a lot of that, you know. I mean, we threw a bag at him, but the great thing about it is if it doesn't turn around, it's only a one-year deal because the Pacers have the option, team option, on year two.
Yep. Yeah, totally agree with that.
So if you look at it that way, you got him on last year, you got Obi on last year, and you've got, you know, our two guard last year. So maybe, you know, this isn't the way the team's going to look next year. That's three guys right there that may not be there who are key contributors to your team currently. If you think about that, and I know, you know, most Pacers fans don't want to hear that, but they're all, you know, Buddy last year, Obi last year, and Bruce. I mean, it can be his last year.
Yeah. Yep, plenty to – and really, we haven't even touched yet Jarace Walker and what he can do. He'll be the building product.
Well, we hope, you know, and again, I knew that at the beginning of the year he wasn't going to get a lot of floor, right, and that's fine, but – if things aren't working, you got him for 5 years. It's worth taking a look and see what we can come up with him. Man, I think he seemed like a good young man. You know, he's got a positive disposition about him, which I love. But it's easy to have a positive disposition when you're a rookie and you're around a lot of vets and you know and they're telling you how to act, right? But I say throw him in there and garbage time and see what he can do. Not, you know, mid-game or anything like that, but garbage time, I wouldn't be opposed to that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think especially if you're getting blown out or you're up big, let's get the guy some run. I mean, we don't hear what he does in practice as much, and is he getting enough run in practice? Does he look lost out there? Is he not picking up the NBA lifestyle speed? But you think you would get that when you're doing your scouting before the draft on a guy when you bring him in and he's in the combine. Yeah, you would hope if you have the right scouts in there.
But you just never know, man. In today's climate, I mean, he could have one of the best attitudes, you know, that we've got out there, and we would never know it. Or he could have the worst attitude, and we would never know it, right? Because those things just don't leak out in Banker's life like they do in other places.
And it should stay in house. It should. You see the trouble with Philadelphia.
Yeah, you know. But hopefully it turns around. Hopefully, I would love for him to get a win tonight, even though I don't like this janky-ass tournament. I would love for him to get a win tonight and get some momentum going into the holidays and see what happens, man, for sure.
Yeah, I'm hoping they win tonight, but I would not be surprised if this, quote, in-season tournament, there's some home cooking towards the end of the game.
Oh, absolutely. Think about it, man. Well, hey, did you see the article today? I think it was on ESPN.com. And they showed the Sixers record and the Denver Rockets. I say Rockets because that's my thinking. Record and said we want to see Embiid and the Russian in their prime. and that's what people want, man. That's what people want. I know he's not Russian, but you know what I'm
right.
You know, Jokic. I think people want to see that to the point of where, hey man, it's about money. What do you think about this tournament? It's money. So they're not going to turn their back on money. And there was an opportunity to have the two guys who were neck and neck for the MVP last year. You know, fans were divided. Jokic wins it. You know, Embiid wins it. And a lot of people say Jokic got robbed. So it wouldn't surprise me at all, man. That's why this home cooking thing, that's why we got to get some wins under our belt, some 50-win season, so we can have some of that cachet that some of these other teams have.
Sounds good. Deacott, appreciate you joining me tonight and being my running mate, my wingman. I don't know.
Always.
My other wingman must have fouled out or something. I don't know what the hell's going on.
No worries, man. Hope my man is good to go. But if you need me, man, in a pinch, you can always call me, man. I'm always in, man, for sure.
Beautiful. Thanks, D-Kai. Have a great night, and good luck to your bets, and always remember, Red 9.
Always, man. No doubt. Right next to 30, baby. All
right, man. All right. That's our guy, D-Kot. Got about 30 minutes. We had about 30 minutes left in the show tonight, folks. And I'm not sure where my co-host went to. JB was on the call, and we talked to D-Kot. JB started talking, and then D-Kot kind of started going into his thing. And we lost Jonathan. And I don't know where he was at. I don't know if the phone issues. He was still on the line, but didn't hear from him. Not sure what happened with John. So, but we hit a lot of topics with D-Kot that I was going to hit with Jonathan tonight. With college football, the Jimbo Fisher, the firings of there, when, and such. We got the playoff rankings are going to be out in the next 35 minutes or so. But we talked Pacers. I talked NBA. The only thing I haven't really talked about is the Undertaker's One Dead Man Show review. And I kind of wanted to talk with Jonathan about that. And, you know, college pick'em, people. College pick'em. Myself, Jonathan, and Tanner. Tanner wasn't going to be on tonight, so we're not going to get his picks. We're not going to do my picks or John's picks on apparently on here tonight. So you'll have to look for our picks. The live up on the Facebook page, Twitter account. We'll have our college pick'em picks on there for next week. So, or for this week, we'll have it up there. I'll probably end up having them up there Thursday or so. I can get picks from John and them still. We'll get that up there. Undertaker Dead Man Show, real quick. I'll just talk about that real quick. Great show. No cell phones in there. You had to put them in a pouch, which it was a cool experience to kind of just disconnect from the world for 2 hours. And not have your phone and your phone near you, and it's always going alerts and all that shit. It was good not to have that. Undertaker went through a lot of stories. He started off talking about WrestleMania 8. He was here at the Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis, his opponent Jake Roberts. So he kind of went into stories about Jake Roberts, up and down the road with Jake Roberts, those type of things. He talked about the wrestling business now and where it's been, as well as she maneuvers all the time in AEW and stuff, the false finishes. He talked about that. Talked about Vince McMahon very candidly, which is great to see. I'm not going to go into all the big stories because that's what you pay to go see. So, but there was a great time, great Q&A. I actually got a Undertaker hat, the actual rest in peace hat that he has with the purple band. Bro, it was sitting there at the concession line. I had to get the hat, so it's all part of the memorabilia. It's on the wall, so had to get that hat. But no, it was a great opportunity, great show. A little bit of housekeeping real quick. Next week's show will be on Wednesday night, the night before Thanksgiving. We'll give you a little Thanksgiving Eve special show, so that way the night before as you're drinking your bourbon and whatnot and preparing the cooking, we'll give you your show on Wednesday night, most likely. Maybe Tuesday night, but right now we have a schedule for Wednesday. And then on your drive to Thanksgiving on Thursday, just put us on. Put us on. Listen to the show next Thursday night. I mean, what's better, right? Going to family, listen to our chaos before you go to your family's chaos. So great opportunity for that. But I don't know where JB's at. Thank you, D-Kot, for calling in. D-Kot, thank you for being the fill-in host with me tonight as we hit up all these topics. We'll have our pick'ems and stuff out later this week. Remember, always remember, the conversation will always continue on Facebook. The conversation will always continue on Twitter, at Brandon Reef, at Three Foolish Men, for Jonathan, and at Crossroads Sports on Twitter. Hit us up on Instagram as well. I want to thank our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, and I also want to thank our sponsor, Mavericks Custer Motorsports. Where would we be without both of you guys being our sponsors? We thank you. Thank you as well. Please check them out. Yeah, for all your needs. Scott K. Nichols, like I said, thank you for all that you do. Love that you tune into the show as well. Thank you for believing in our product and what we do. Other than that, I don't have anything else this evening. Maybe me and myself and Jonathan will do a mini show later this week with the catch up on some things we didn't get to tonight. I don't know where John's at. MIA. We'll see. But thank you guys for everybody. Tune in, Twitter, Facebook, Tinder Conversation. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you guys all again next week.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.